Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man. All right, well, let's discuss. I'm going to be talking a lot about Sex at Dawn. It's a book I read recently. It talks about the evolution of modern sexuality. Very eye-opening, very cool book by a guy named Christopher Ryan. I listened to the audiobook, found that to be a little bit easier to digest. And prior to reading it, I kind of had this nagging problem that I had for many, many years. And reading the book really solved that problem in my mind, which was amazing. I feel so much more at ease and at peace and free because I no longer have this narrative in my head that everything's, you know, doom and gloom when it comes to relationships. And basically what that was the grass is always greener conversation. And what I mean by grass is always greener is when I was in a relationship, I wanted to be single because I was typically bored after the first few months of would wear off. Yeah, so the first few months, it would be fun and exciting and cool. And the sex would be great. And the infatuation, falling in love period, you know, all the colors, everything's more colorful, the food tastes better, music sounds better, that whole thing. And then eventually that would kind of wear off. And then I would be kind of dealing with this boredom and what they call the Coolidge effect, which is wanting to stray and wanting variety in some sexual partners. You know, in my early relationships, in my, you know, late teens, early 20s, mid 20s, even up to my mid 30s, I would meet these girls and then things would be awesome. And then after a while, I'd be bored. And I would, of course, you know, blame it on her because, of, you know, nothing's ever my fault. And I would think, oh, I guess she's just not the one because she can't keep my interest. And after going through almost 10 or 11 years, maybe longer, you know, 13, 14 years of that pattern over and over, get in a relationship, get bored, cheat or break up or not cheat and drag it out for way too many years, wasting my time and hers. I realized that was a really, really poor pattern. So I concluded, hey, it must be that these girls are just, you know, they're not my soulmate. They're not hot enough. They're not this, is, you know, stupid ideas in my head. But most of those girls were amazing girls. So I started dating girls who basically like didn't give me the feeling of love and satisfaction that I wanted, but I confused that with love and I would chase after it so hard from them to the point where I'd push them away, or they were just, you know, in a place where they weren't experiencing any self-love, so they didn't have any love to give. And those relationships would end with basically me in heartbreak because either they would break up with me or after a time I just figured that, you know, I could never get the satisfaction that I wanted from them. So up until not too long ago, that was basically, you know, either of my options. It was find a girl, get bored, or find a girl and have her not be really interested in me. So I kept looking for this, you know, magical unicorn. And then after reading Sex at Dawn and understanding all the reasons for these sort of sexual issues and how monogamy plays into this and how incest actually plays into this, it's kind of a funny story. The way that I discovered that was there's a mechanism called the anti-incest mechanism. And let me pull up my notes here to explain that so I don't sound like a complete idiot throwing around crazy terms like incest. People are like, what the fuck is he talking about? How do we get to incest? Basically, males evolved an appetite for the unfamiliar. And what would happen, like imagine if we didn't have an appetite, a sexual appetite for strange, for unfamiliar women or pussy. What would happen is we would probably just end up wanting to sleep with our sisters or fuck God knows who. And there'd be no desire to go out and meet someone who wasn't, you know, kind of biologically different. That's literally what they say in the book. When couples have been living together for years, they start to feel like siblings, and often their sex life dies. And, you know, you guys have all heard the story and the narrative. So this anti-incest mechanism blocks intimacy for men. You know, it literally makes you not want to, you know, be sexually attracted to your partner anymore. However, in the book, they talk about if you have other sexual partners, that mechanism goes away or decreases. And I've experienced that. It's very controversial. So people listening might be like, what the fuck? This is crazy shit. But I've literally experienced that the phenomenon of being bored with my girlfriend and then sleeping with another girl and then having all of those feelings of attraction towards my girlfriend come back, like flooding and rushing back almost the second I ejaculate with the new girl, as crazy as that is, like just immediate feeling. Maybe if it was cheating, it was guilt, and like, oh my God, why did I do that? I love my girlfriend. And you see this happen time and time again with men of huge status and wealth and power. I mean, you saw this happen with Bill Clinton, Tiger Woods, Kobe Bryant, and they literally risked everything for strange vagina, right? Like Bill Clinton risked the presidency, his family, just to get some strange with Monica Lewinsky. So the drivers are so strong. So to deny those drivers, or to tell men like, oh, you know, just avoid those feelings, you know, just don't worry about it, you're really going against nature, from what they explain in the book. Because we've been programmed for hundreds of thousands of years, you know, before civilization, to live in these foraging societies where it was a more polyamorous societies, people cruising around in small groups, taking care of children together, hunting together, living together, sleeping together. Jealousy wasn't really a thing because culturally we hadn't decided that jealousy was okay. And then the book gets into all the reasons why all of these things came to be. When civilization happened and we started farming and agriculture, women became essentially property and the patriarchy was formed. So really interesting stuff from a feminism perspective and just from a social, social standpoint, of course. So the book was totally fascinating. But the beauty of it is now I realize, oh, okay, well, there's no reason to have that grass is greener conversation because I know I'm programmed to essentially get a little bit bored and used to a partner, but that doesn't mean she's bad for me. It means the latter. It means she's probably a healthy partner for me. And as long as I have an outlet and we can discuss a healthy outlet together, and it's not just me, she might want to, you know, have some fun and do whatever she wants to do. And I'd rather be in a non-judgmental, open and communicative relationship where jealousy is totally minimalized and we both get to enjoy some of the things that most couples don't get to enjoy. Instead, they end up being resentful of each other and unfulfilled sexually. And eventually, here's the thing, like if you're unfulfilled, you will find an outlet. If she's unfulfilled, she will find an outlet. And if it's cheating, that's going to kill the communication and the intimacy in the relationship. And it'll end up in a broken relationship because eventually someone's going to get caught. It's just a matter of time. It's not in, you know, will you get caught? It's when will you get caught? Usually a lot sooner if you're a guy cheating on a girl. Girls are a little bit better at it in my experience. But every single time I've been caught, and every single time, like those relationships were, you know, just basically thrown away. And you look at the amount of relationships failing in our society, it's crazy. And every time one of those relationships failed, it usually failed because people don't understand their true nature, which is kind of a shame. And then think about all the families where broken homes are involved, kids are involved, where a guy will be with a girl for, let's say, you know, 10, 15 years, and then that marriage falls apart because of the lack of intimacy. Maybe he just needed some strange, or maybe she just needed some strange and everything would have been cool. Maybe they just needed a hall pass. And, you know, they could have gone back to that amazing beginning that they had, or, you know, not back to the beginning, but that deep love would still be there. And if they had, you know, they didn't take their partner's, you know, sexual desires and urges personally, as a, oh, this is something that, you know, if I don't satisfy her, then, you know, I'm a loser. Like, how, it's so crazy to think like that, because she has her own hormones and different things will satisfy her through different parts of her life. So, you know, having this egotistical idea that you can always satisfy someone is fucking absurd. It's insane. People don't even know what they want. So how could you pretend to be able to give them what they don't know that they don't want or know that they want? So it's just totally, utterly crazy. So then they, you know, they go through these patterns. Our society says it's better to, instead of cheating, it's actually better to just break up and get a divorce and break the home up and then find someone else and rinse and repeat the process, which is completely crazy. So they talk all about this in the book. Really, really fascinating stuff. Highly recommend it. The science behind it was quite impressive. And, you know, for all the people listening, I know I can tend to be like, I don't know what you would call it, but when I read a new book, I'm always like, yeah, this is fucking awesome. This explains everything. And then maybe like a month later, I'll be like, oh yeah, it was good, but I see some holes in it. So, you know, I admit I can be guilty of that. So anyways, Daniel posted earlier in the group about jealousy and girls cheating. And that was my kind of long-winded response. So what did you think of all that?
First of all, I would have a question. When you said you would, the interest sparked back when you cheated on your girlfriend. Would you say this was also I realized how good she is for me in comparison to maybe this other girl? Maybe because you have way more practice together kinds of sex or whatever. Or was,
well, yeah, every time I would cheat on my girlfriend, right, I would always, like, you know, before the cheating, I would feel caged in, maybe resentful that I wasn't allowed to go out and, you know, have my fun. And then the second I would cheat and I would come, I would be like, oh fuck, I miss my girlfriend. God, she's so amazing. And like, I would just immediately want to be like back in her arms. And it's crazy how that works. Like, you know, those feelings just instantly would come back. And you know, the only thing that that's been able to describe that perfectly is what they talked about in the book, that Coolidge effect. I don't know if you've experienced that.
I didn't cheat that much, so I don't know. I've never been like in a serious monogamous relationship for, yeah, a longer period of time. So I have no idea about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's really interesting, and I only see this other side right now because I have some friends and I see
girls. Well, let me read your post. Let me read your post and my answer, because I think that'll be helpful just to give other people some context. So you posted girls and cheating. So I'm interested in some opinions on this topic from experienced guys. I'm just now realizing how big this whole cheating thing is and how much girls and guys as well, I guess, just lie to their boyfriend's face and cheat behind their back. For a long time, I didn't care about girls in relationships, mostly because I wanted to be too morally correct, I think. I would never want a relationship where my girl fucks another guy while lying directly to my face. On the other hand, it is quite convenient because when I'm the guy she cheats with, I know she won't want a relationship too fast. This girl I fucked in Budapest is posting pictures with her boyfriend on Instagram together with love poems. Then a couple of hours later, she texts me to plan her secret trip to visit me. This is insane to me, but I guess this way is more normal to a lot of you. If anybody has some stories to share, I'm really interested. Also, I feel like I'm getting way more initial interest from girls that are in relationships. Not sure why. So Jay responded, I stopped caring a long time ago. It's just a thing that is, and it is what it is. I've had hard proof of being cheated on by different girls. I accused them without saying I had proof to see if they would lie. They kept lying all the way to the end until shown the proof, where they then would try to spin it and start crying, apologizing, trying to have sex with me, etc. I also remember banging one of my exes repeatedly, one time in a dressing room at the mall, and 20 minutes later, her boyfriend called while I was there talking on the phone like nothing had happened. I was recently banging this girl without a condom for like a month or two. She had some French boyfriend she was annoyed with, and they had a baby son together. After she stopped being mad at him, she started posting family pics on Instagram, etc., acting like nothing happened. I have a lot of examples of these kinds of situations. Usually the girl is happy we banged and not distraught. If girls get emotional, they do a lot of stupid things. That's why I have so much trouble believing in monogamy. Betting my whole life on a girl being perfect 100% of the time during emotional times. When they're happy with you, they're loyal as fuck. When they're not, sad face. Guys lie a lot too. I don't want to be biased. I have for sure. Not for emotional reasons, just because new pussy sounds good. I avoid monogamy now because I don't enjoy the lying and deceit of the relationships. And then he says, I think what Robbie posted earlier about the married girl and relationships based on honesty makes the most sense. If I knew it wasn't monogamy from the beginning, I think I could deal with it potentially. And then my response, I said 99.99999% of humans will cheat because we're designed to. You know, all this nonsense about monogamy, faithfulness, till death do us part really goes completely against our nature, as I mentioned in Sex at Dawn. And why fight against nature and put yourself in a position to be emotionally distraught? You know, grow up, accept reality, and really try to find a way to deal with your nature in a mature way. And I'm not saying this is true for everyone. You know, some guys might feel differently depending on your hormones, testosterone level. There's, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself and most of the guys I know. You know, and you can grow up by understanding human nature and being able to communicate and educate the people in your life and showing them the truth. And typically people won't like hearing the truth because it goes against the standard narrative and the fairy tale bullshit that we're fed in Western culture, but people will respect you and they'll be way more attracted to someone that sees the truth and that walks their own path. You know, one thing to definitely avoid, and I've been guilty of this, is trying to lecture a girl about, you know, kind of giving her this like condescending dad energy. Yeah, this is the way it is. Blah, blah, blah. Monogamy is not real. Like, people close up. They don't want to listen to you when you're trying to teach them something. So let's see. You know, don't take people's emotions personally, especially women. Emotions will pass and eventually they'll be left with the truth, and they'd way rather bang a grounded, cool dude who gives them the freedom to pursue whatever their desires or impulses, you know, guide them to do. So I don't know. My feeling now is like, if I have a girlfriend and she wants to get gangbanged by the USC football team, you know, what can I do? If I say no, she'll want to do it more. If I say go for it, she probably won't want to do it because of the moral social implications. But if she does do it, you know, great. It doesn't mean anything about me, except that I'm attracted to the type of girls that want to bang the entire football team. but, you know, if you don't want a girl who's you know, wants to get gangbanged, you know, young, crazy sexual girls, if you don't want a girl like that, date older girls who have already, you know, experienced that in their life. They've kind of been there, done that. You know, younger girls, I'd say between like 18 and 26 are more interested in those sexual explorations. You know, people, when they get a little bit older, guys and girls, they start to get that emotion, the biological clock will start ticking, you know, kind of from like 26 for women, guys, maybe 29, 30, and they'll want something more serious and long-term, you know. But for you, Daniel, you're a college dude and you're trying to get as many sexual experiences as you can. And the more your mindset is encouraging of women to get as many sexual experiences as they can, the more you'll win and the more you'll find girls like that. And if you can kill that double standard idea of cheating in your mind, you know, the law of attraction will kick in, law of attraction will kick in, and you'll be able to more easily emit that energy of fuck boy player, just want to have fun and chill. And you'll get girls who are looking for that, and they'll reciprocate. So one thing, obviously, just a disclaimer, be very careful. If you are going to fuck around with someone who has a boyfriend, you never know. People are crazy. You don't want to get yourself in a dangerous situation with an angry boyfriend or husband who's trying to kill you. So, you know, always better to not, you know, find single girls. But a lot of the time they just won't tell you that they're in a relationship. I mean, people are just cheating like wizards these days. I don't know why I said wizards. I don't know if wizards cheat, but rabbits, I guess. Fucking like rabbits. Cheating like poker players. How about that? So, that's the end of that diatribe. Any closing thoughts, Daniel? Maybe you're wondering, how do I be more of a fuckboy?
Yeah, I'm definitely still wondering that, but I'm getting some clues. But also on the other side, how do you have any like general advice how to deal? Because I will get jealous as well, for sure. And then it is difficult to convey this, oh yeah, you can do whatever you want. When I know that I won't feel good about it. Is this just a self-esteem thing that comes over time, or?
Yeah, so you can work on your jealousy. I'm going to totally botch this, but in Sex at Dawn, they talk about just, I don't even remember the term, but basically in how one culture, lobster will be a delicacy. In most Western cultures, lobster is extremely expensive, right? We think it tastes amazing. In steakhouses, they'll bring out lobster on a wheelbarrow or a whatever they call that shit, like a live lobster. And you guys get the idea. I'll shut the fuck up about the lobster. But in other cultures, they think cockroaches are delicacies. And what's the difference between a lobster and a cockroach? Really nothing, except one lives on the bottom of the ocean, one lives in dirt, and one's a little bit bigger, I guess. But because our society told us cockroaches are gross and lobsters are good, we get grossed out by cockroaches and we think lobsters are good, right? So imagine if you were in a society where jealousy wasn't a thing. And they give many examples in the book of societies that still exist on remote islands and different places in the non-Western world, where societies encourage group sex, sex between super young women and older men and vice versa, and all this open sort of stuff. And there really is no jealousy because we're not programmed to have jealousy. Jealousy is a program response by our culture. So you get jealous because you're told that you should be jealous. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I guess that I'm in the worst place.
If I told you to Germany. Yeah, exactly. So this is probably the worst place ever, right? Germany and the U.S. or England, right? But you know, when those feelings of jealousy come up, just remember, like, oh, you know, why is lobster better than cockroach? Well, it's not. They just said it was. I've never really tasted cockroach. Maybe if everyone told me it was good, it would be good. Like, people eat snails in France and they think they're amazing. I love snails, escargot, right? But other cultures, like, oh, that's disgusting. How could they eat that? Right? If you go to Thailand, people eat all sorts of crazy shit and they think the stuff we eat is gross. So when people are, you know, when you're starting to feel jealous, just remind yourself, this isn't a natural feeling. This is a programmed response. And, you know, this girl wanting to get fucked by the USC football team means nothing about me. Like, you being in her life wouldn't change any of that, right? Like, if you have a girlfriend and you see another girl walking down the street and you're attracted to her, does your current girlfriend have any control over that? Did she make you attracted to her or not attracted to her? No, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, you know, that's how I try to deal with it. And I try to surround myself with people that have similar views. I used to be in a open sort of swingers relationship, and we hung out with other lifestyle, quote unquote, people. And it was amazing because there wasn't really any jealousy in that environment. And I learned a ton about sex. You know, I learned a ton about how to be a better lover by watching other guys, like, basically bang my girlfriend and bang their girlfriends and vice versa. Like, one guy taught me how to squirt on my own girlfriend. How crazy is that? And being able to, like, having that ability to make girls squirt is one of the, you know, most kind of like it's great. It's fun. You know, women love it. Makes you feel like the man, you know, it's a stroke to your ego and it's a fun experience. You know, I never would have learned that if I wasn't open to these sorts of crazy experiences and having these mindsets. So just remember, anything that, like, you know, makes you feel small or bad or guilty or wrong, typically that's a programmed response. You know, it might go against our nature when it comes to sexuality stuff. And I encourage you guys to read the book because it goes way deeper into these sorts of things. A lot better than I can explain. And also, if you kind of encourage your girl to talk about her desires and her fantasies, a lot of those fantasies and desires are just that. They're fantasies. People don't always want to act out their fantasies. Just because, you know, she has this fantasy of being with the guy with the face tattoo, you know, doesn't mean she'll actually go through with it. Or doesn't mean she wants to go through with it. It just might exist as a fantasy. But if you tell her no, or you put up a bunch of resistance, it's just going to make people want to do it anyways. Like, the more you tell someone no, the more they typically want to do it. It's just, you know, human nature. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. With one of the girls I'm seeing now, I'm extremely, you know, encouraging of her. Like, you know, she met up with one of my friends. I'm like, oh, did you bang him? Why not? And she's like, I don't want a boyfriend who tells me to like bang his friends or doesn't care what I do. I want someone who tells me no. I'm like, well, you've had those guys before and now you're with me. Yeah, but I want you to tell me that. I'm like, why? So you can then resent me for telling you what to not do and then go out and do it and then dump me because I trapped you? No, that wouldn't happen. Well, that's what happened before, right? Yeah, but it's different. Okay. You can still do what you want to do, babe. Go ahead. So that's kind of how those conversations have been going every week. She's really young and, you know, really cool girl. But like I said, you'll get a ton of pushback with this stuff. But the truth, you know, the human nature will set you free. It's really cool because now I understand the science behind all of these feelings I was having, right? And without the science, anyone can poke a hole in your argument and just call you a player or a whore or this or that, right? Like if I tell the girl I'm dating, like, babe, you know, just like when I'm with you and then I fuck another girl, it just makes me want you more. She'll be like, oh yeah, that's a neat trick. Very, you know, that's very convenient. No one's going to believe that. But when you understand the science behind it, and it's like a scientifically proven thing that keeps our society from falling into, you know, child birth defects and incest, there's not a whole lot they can say. Like, oh, well, yeah, fuck, I guess you're right. And then you have all the data of guys in positions of power, like I mentioned earlier, that risk everything to do this. People start to wake up and be like, yeah, fuck, I guess it kind of is in men's nature. They have high testosterone levels and they're sexual, that they, you know, throughout history. But we're just fed this fucking utter bullshit, this Western narrative of sexuality and monogamy and you know, from years and years of religion. And it's making people miserable. Like, imagine how much freer and happier the world would be if everyone just fucked more. Like, there wouldn't be any of these like shootings. Like, you know, all these fucking shootings are always by guys who are, you know, incels, involuntary celibates. I think almost every single one. I don't want to get into too much like the cultural stuff, but, you know, I heard someone throw out the idea of like, well, if they legalize prostitution, most of that would probably go away. I don't really know the ramifications of that, but it's an interesting idea, right? Like, I've never met a guy who's getting laid who wants to go and kill people. I don't know about you guys. So really haven't met anyone who wants to go kill people anyways, but Joel, what are your thoughts on that?
It's really interesting. You mentioned law of attraction and change in mindset, and that stuff has proven real for me.
Like, yeah, in this case, no, go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
But for example, like, when I was approaching like crazy, I was getting little results. And then I came to LA, and one of the things, you know, my friend talked about was, you know, law of attraction stuff and visualizing success with women. And once I started visualizing, that's when women just came out of the woodwork like miraculously.
seemingly miraculously, right? So, so there's definitely like a belief law of attraction component to the stuff.
Well, what I was talking, that seems a little bit more general. I might have some questions that have you clarify, but what I was talking about more specifically was the law of attraction when it comes to judging and taking the moral high ground and putting yourself in a position of, you know, superiority, which is fucked up. Because when you do that, you know, you're basically just inviting that into your life versus if you're non-judgmental and you take the attitude of, you know, all of the best philosophers and geniuses of our history, that the more they know, the more they understand they don't know anything. Like Einstein said it, Socrates said it. They're like, I know nothing. I don't know anything. But there's so much power in knowing nothing and realizing that you don't have the answers and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And what we believe now could be completely and utterly wrong, you know, 10, 20, 100 years from now. So this idea that like I'm going to judge women for being sluts or whores or all these, you know, horrible ways we judge them for their sexuality, you know, up until like the 1920s, it was women were like, or, I mean, it was later than this, but in the 20s, like female masturbation was like a huge, like, you know, that there were. There were doctors saying like if you masturbate as a female, you die and like you'd go to hell and all this crazy shit. The book gets into female masturbation a lot. It's really fascinating. I'm going to botch it if I try to explain it. Male masturbation too, but especially for females, because their sexuality has been so much more, you know, regulated, and there's that crazy double standard. But the law of attraction thing I was mentioning, not to ramble on, is just if you're sexually open, you don't have, you know, any judgments, you're way more likely to attract a woman who doesn't have any judgments and is way more open to, you know, and wants a guy who's not judgmental. And if you want to have more, you know, fun, spontaneous, open, crazy sex, like that's the attitude you need to have. You're not going to get that if your attitude is like, yeah, I'm going to be a player and, you know, girls are sluts and whores, but I'm going to like get all the good ones and blah, blah, blah. Like just the crazy bullshit you hear.
Yeah. Interesting.
And people can feel it. Like it's so easy to feel if someone has a judgmental vibe versus a non-judgmental vibe. Like it's just painfully obvious. Like the second someone walks into a room, I can feel like, all right, like is this person a judgy cunt or is he a cool, chill, you know, whatever kind of, you know, I don't pretend to be superior or knowing sort of person.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So for a long time, I think I had a big problem with going for girls in relationships because I knew if they would hook up with me, I wouldn't be able to, I think, take them serious anymore. And like get very close to them because I would feel like, yeah, I couldn't because they would probably do the same to me. And now in your post, you stated that you shouldn't judge them for doing, if they would do that with you. And it doesn't mean that they would do it to you as well.
So that's so interesting. So you would judge a girl, right? Like you would like her, but she cheated on her boyfriend with you. So clearly she's a cheater, right? So she's good for sex, but I would never date her because she's obviously a cheater, right? This is our crazy mentality, right?
Like, yeah, that's what I had for a long time.
It's so fucking crazy, right? It's like, I'm going to judge her for fucking me, but I would never date her because, I mean, yeah, she's a cheater, right? When you're just fucking bad because, you know, you're enabling a cheater. But it's funny how the mind says, oh, no, I'm not the one doing the cheating, so it's okay. You know, and enabling is, you know, is just as bad as the crime itself. But it's just so nuts because the whole reason why she's cheating in the first place is she doesn't understand her own natural desires. She doesn't know how to talk about those desires in a mature way with her partner where they could navigate those together. So instead, she thinks her only option is to cheat. And you don't know how to do that either. So you're going to immediately judge her for cheating instead of realizing that, oh, maybe she's only cheating because that's all she knows that she can do. And fuck, if I could talk to her about these things and we could have an honest conversation and an open dialogue about it, there wouldn't be any cheating, because cheating is only cheating if you say it's cheating, right? Like, if you're in an open relationship, there is no cheating. There's lying, right? Or there's other things, but if you're open, there's no such thing as cheating, right?
Yeah. Would you judge them for lying then, or like keeping it, like not saying that she cheated with somebody else?
I try to not judge people for anything.
I think I've been a judgy bitch in the past.
Yeah. So, well, if you can like try this on, just try not being judgmental of anything. Because who are you to judge? You're all knowing, all powerful Zeus, creator of the universe. Like, who are you to judge anything? Right? Because you don't know anything. You have no answers. Right? There are no cold, hard truths or facts for most of the things in the universe. So take on the fact that the only reason why someone is doing this thing that we've deemed morally bad, like lying, for example, is because they don't know how to not lie, right? Clearly there's some outcome that they want, and their only means of getting that is through lying. But if you could show them a way where they didn't have to lie, I bet you they'd take that route, right? Because no one wants to lie. It's just, you know, something we resort to. People don't want to cheat. It's just something we resort to, right? So if you can, and everyone's been in a situation where they've resorted to lying and cheating for something or for some reason or for, right? So how can you judge someone for doing it sexually versus on a math test? With me?
That makes a lot of sense. I just have to think about it a little bit longer, I guess.
Yeah, kind of let it marinate.
There are like two parts, and I'm not sure about the second. That is, yeah, you're not judging people, but you have people you rather spend time with, and you rather don't spend time with, depending on their attributes. Which would, for example, honesty.
Yeah, like if you see that someone's just a manipulative, crazy liar. Right? It's not your job to show them a different way that will allow them to get what they want without doing that. That's not your job, right? If you want to make it your job, that's up to you. So it just depends on, do you want to take on that project?
Yeah.
And usually I would recommend not, because it's, you know, trying to change people is not an effective strategy. But judging a girl for lying or manipulating or cheating or lying or cheating is really stupid, because almost everyone does it. Like, everyone fucking lies and cheats, especially when they're in a corner. So it's a really shitty thing to judge someone by, because instead, if you could just show them a better way, if they're attractive and they're cool and they're fun and you have an open dialogue, like in the beginning, right? Like, if you guys have a great connection and a really, you know, having a great time together, and you could show her these things that would give her tools to live a, you know, a better life, like, you're doing them such a favor. So why not do it? Why would you just assume, well, she cheated on her boyfriend, so she'll probably cheat on me? Like, hey, go ahead, cheat on me. It's not cheating. You can do whatever you want. Try it out.
Yeah, that's a very interesting viewpoint. So I never thought about it this way. But yeah, I guess it makes me way more open to hooking up with girls in relationships, because I always had this like bad touch with it. And I think you took that away now.
Right. I'm not saying go out there and fuck a bunch of girls in relationships, of course, right? That's just kind of the nature of what's happening. Right. And I guess one thing, the reason why girls might be, why that might be happening to you, is you're a really good looking guy. and you're, you know, head and shoulders better looking than most of the competition around, I'm guessing, you know, at your in your small city with lots of math people, usually not the most attractive bunch. So when girls go out to cheat, right, like they're like, all right, tonight I'm going to fucking cheat on my boyfriend and I'm going to do it with the hottest guy. So they're picking you a lot. Right. Like girls typically, I don't get a lot of cheating girls because I'm just not that good looking. Right. I'm okay. But like, I'm not the target of cheating. Right. So I bet that's happening quite a bit.
Yeah. I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. I remember back last year, there was I wanted to write it originally, and then I thought it was super boring and I wouldn't bother to write it. But there was one student dorm party, and there was a girl who was, I think, like 24, and she told me her boyfriend was the first guy she ever fucked, and she didn't have anybody else, and she would love him, but she would not get over this feeling that she would want to fuck somebody else just to know how it feels. Sure. And she doesn't know what to do.
Well, it's pretty obvious what she's going to do, right? Eventually she's going to fuck someone else.
Yeah.
But if she could just be honest with her boyfriend about that, and if he wasn't completely bombarded and enmeshed with the Western narrative about how bad and wrong that is, they could probably have a great relationship, right? Okay, sure. Go fuck someone. We'll make a fun day out of it, right?
It's so fun. Exactly, like, what I
yeah?
That's exactly what I told her. And she was like, yeah, I could never, ever tell him.
Right. Like, you see why, you guys see why no relationships work in our culture. Like, it's impossible for them to work. Because people will not have those conversations. However, they will cheat almost every single time. Like, it's so fucking stupid that this isn't common knowledge, right? It's like, we'll look back on this period of history and be like, what the fuck were these morons doing? What were we thinking? Like, trying to fit a round peg into a square hole. Like, it's just completely absurd.
I have a feeling that if I say this idea to a girl or to people, they would judge me.
Sure.
Should I? But they should do. I mean, it's yeah, like the mainstream. So
of course.
What do you do about it? Do you still tell them? And if they don't accept it, just cut them off, disconnect with them, or I don't know. What do you do?
That's a hard one to answer because, you know, there's different pros and cons depending on your situation. Me, for example, I live in Kiev, Ukraine, which is a, you know, not part of the standard Western narrative. So I can go around spouting those ideas and I'll get a lot of agreement over here, right? It's just there's a ton of cheating and crazy lying and stuff going on here. Like, same with Russia, same with a lot of the former, you know, USSR. And it's just like, girls just expect that their boyfriends and husbands are like fucking other girls and cheating. It's just like normal. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's just what they expect. Right. So when you do it, they're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, you're just being a guy. Right. So in one way, it is a more healthy approach because it's a more natural approach. Right. But, you know, if I was in San Francisco, where in a very, like, you know, feminist, pro-monogamy area, I probably wouldn't go around like spewing these ideas unless I had some sort of reason to do it, right? Like, unless I thought that the person I was talking to might be able to see my side, or I might be able to teach them something or show or open their eyes to something, or, you know, I have an obvious reason to do it from my business standpoint and putting out podcasts and content for new ideas and for people to resonate with. But for you, right, you're just kind of hanging out, trying to make friends and expand your social circle. If you're getting a ton of disagreement it's probably not the best thing to do, right? Because you're just going to turn people off. Instead, if you just keep those kind of ideas to yourself and build friendships, and then later when you have a platform to maybe change someone's mind or have an intellectual debate on this stuff, they'll already, you know, be like, oh, okay, KY is cool. They're not going to be like really discerning, or they're not going to be, they're not going to judge you so much because they're already going to be your friend.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying like building a cool personality first, and then when there are chances, when you have a platform, you can speak your mind freely better. That way people won't judge you.
Well, you're not going to judge your friend. Like, you're probably not going to unfriend, right, someone that you care about because they have a different view of sex or religion than you, right? But in the beginning, if you find out someone's like a devout Zionist, like super religious Jew, and you're not that, you know, your first instinct might be, oh, what do I have in common?
Religious guy, maybe I'm not going to talk to him anymore.
Yeah, he's a crazy person, right? You don't want to get labeled as a crazy person.
So a lot of like girls I date, especially I date some Chinese girls, they are more, even more conservative than sure. Western.
Yeah.
So it's even worse.
Yeah, man.
yeah. And I don't know what to do sometimes because I'm pretty open in my sexuality right now.
Well, you know, I never said you have to go, you don't have to go convincing people of this, right? You can always just let your actions do the talking. And as long as you're not making claims or promises or lying to girls, you'll be surprised how often they would rather hook up with a cool guy who they know is hooking up with other girls and just be okay with it, because it's so hard to find, like, a cool, non-judgmental guy. They may not like the fact that, you know, you're not only sleeping with them, but they're still going to be attracted to you, right? Probably even more so. Mm-hmm. Not probably, like, typically, definitely, right? Because you're displaying so many attractive masculine behaviors and traits that they can't help but be more attracted to you. So they might kick and scream and say, "We're breaking up. I don't want that. I only want to be with you for monogamous." But then they'll get drunk and bang on your door at 12:30 at night, like what happened with my girlfriend who tried to break up with me a couple days ago.
It's really funny.
She was like, "I was expecting to find another girl here." I'm like, "Well, so what if you would have?" You're lucky that they didn't, because typically there would have been. I was just a little lazy tonight, so decided to get some work done instead. But you know, I'm fucking other girls. Like, what would have been what are you gonna do? Make a big scene? Like, she knows about you, so you guys would have just probably been friends and maybe would have had a threesome, but whatever. I've had so many threesomes, I don't even give a fuck anymore.
I totally agree with you, yeah. I mean, I do have this kind of relationship when I am open to the girl I liked and she accepted, and she was like, oh, we would just have sex, and she keeps telling me, oh, I want to be with you, just like monogamously, just be with you all the time. But I don't respond to her. I don't make promises, and it's cool. I mean, she says I'm cool. I mean, that's good enough.
Yeah, for the most part, you can just ignore a lot of those questions, and then, you know, you can banter them off, which is one strategy that I've used in the past. And, you know, when a girl asks you, like, so how many other girls are you fucking? Be like, well, let's see. Today there was you, Tanya, your sister, your aunt. I don't know. Maybe you're like 6 or 7, I think. Right? She's going to laugh. And then she's like, no, really? You're like, okay, 8. Yeah, I forgot about your other cousin. Come on, babe, let's go get food, right? You change the subject. And she asks you a few more times, you keep joking around. And then finally she's like, no, I want to know, are you banging other girls? Blah, 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 blah. And then you can be like, well, if you really want to know my thoughts around sexuality and monogamy and blah, 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 here they are, right? And the more you know how to explain yourself and your nature, and you can back your claims up with science, the more likely you'll be to be heard, and the more likely she'll be open to some of these ideas. I mean, every single girl I talk to about it is open to it and agrees with me. They're like, yeah, because they've all had the experience. They've all been cheated on. They've all cheated. They're all just bouncing from shitty relationship to shitty relationship that ends the same way. And I'm offering a solution to that. Like, you don't, doesn't have to be like that. We could just have an open dialogue and not have these stupid boundaries of like not allowing ourselves to, you know, explore our sexualities, and we can talk about ways to do it together. We could talk about ways to handle it, talk about ways to deal with our jealousy instead of just ruining something that's good. Like, it's, unless someone's completely crazy, they're going to want to try that out. And it's so important as someone going on this journey to not make the mistakes that I've made and lock yourself down in bullshit monogamous relationships for years and years and years and miss out on all the learning and experiences that I could have had if I didn't have this stupid narrative in my head. You know, because think of all the time I wasted, like not wanting to cheat on my girlfriend, but thinking about cheating on my girlfriend or cheating on her and then lying to her and this and that. Like, I should have just been single. Or been in, right? Like, there was no reason to be in those relationships. It was just that I was a needy bitch and I needed the companionship and yeah, whatever. I'm not going to judge my past and whatever. We all do the things that we needed to do, but it's certainly a lot more healthy being in a place where you don't have to lie and you don't have to second guess yourself and you understand your own drivers and emotions a lot better. It gives you personal power. Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.